Building a great business. The inside story of the Channel Islands leading recruitment business.
Hello and welcome. I'm Jason King and I'm joined by Lee Madden, the founder and managing director of GR8 Recruitment, as well as Emma Holliday, the company's rest of world director, Isle of Man, and Diane Sumnell, GR8's business community director in Jersey. Founded just 4 years ago, GR8 has grown quickly to become the Channel Islands' leading specialist recruitment company. In this podcast, we'll explore how GR8 was established, what makes it stand out in a competitive market, and how. Lee, as you head into your fifth year of operation, you've grown from startup to sector leader in the Channel Islands, and you're expanding into the Isle of Man and the UK.
Yeah, sure. We started the business 4.5 years ago. I by myself on my sofa in St. Mary's. It then grew to a shared office space in the library in town, and then joined me. And from there, now we've grown into the sector leading recruitment specialist for the blue collar sector across Channel Islands, and like I say, moving to the Isle of Man next year.
So what inspired you to set up the business?
Well, I looked at what was happening in Jersey for blue collar recruitment and firmly believed that people weren't doing it very well, and I thought I could do it better.
Simple as that.
Simple as that.
A gap in the market, and you went, yeah, I'm going to fill it.
I can fill it and I can do it well.
Did you have any experience in the market before you came into it?
Oh, my history is Army Police Force, but I was working for Back to Work, a government agency of social security in Jersey, and I was helping people with barriers to employment back into work. So effectively, I was matching a resource to an employer and getting them into work. So that's where my experience of the recruitment came.
Excellent. What are the values that make GR8 stand out in a competitive market?
Well, GR8 works with the values of being paid, and not paid as in paying your cash, but it's our PAID. We're absolutely passionate about what we do, agile and adaptable in our approach, inclusive of all, whether that be race, creed or colour, or ideology or people's wants. And more importantly, we're absolutely driven in what we do. We drive to provide excellent customer service, be that to our client or to our employee.
And that, I guess, harks back to your military background, talking about being adaptable.
Inclusive, driven, making things work. What we're very good at is getting things done. We don't sort of sit and wait. We don't suffer paralysis by overanalysis. We just decide we're going to do something and we get on with it and do it.
And what areas of recruitment do you actually specialise in?
Well, when I first started, it was just going to be solely construction. A friend of mine owns a hotel in Jersey, and one night we're having a glass of wine. He said, "Can you find me a chef?" And I said, "Well, how hard can it be?" And then the hospitality set part of the business was born. From there on in, we started working in retail, agriculture, healthcare, early years care, across all the blue sectors. We also currently are working with our partners in the white collar sector, providing some white collar resourcing through our white collar agencies in the islands as well.
So you talk about your passion for doing recruitment better. What does that actually mean in practice for employers?
They get a fantastic service. As an employer, we're a one-stop shop. They come to us, we tell them what we can do. We give them the resource, they speak to the resource, they offer a job, then we do everything else. That's in relation to our providing a resource to be employed by a company. We also do temps, so we have a number of people, 50 people today working for us on construction sites throughout Jersey. So we make sure we get the right solution at the right time, ensure that our clients have got a resource that's effective, productive, and does the job.
I kind of get the feeling if somebody says, "Can you source me somebody who can do this?" The answer from you is yes.
Do you want a radio presenter?
Can you get me one?
Yeah, how many do you want?
Can you get me a good one?
A very good one.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Fantastic. We'll talk later about that. That sounds good to me. So how has the recruitment market changed for you as a business in the last few years?
Well, I think the market's changed through how we've driven it. Em and I worked together for two laptops only 4 years ago. Now we're a team of seven working. Guy takes care of all the local recruitment operations here. And maybe the girls can give their opinion on that as well, because it's quite interesting to sometimes sit back and see what your thoughts are on that.
Yeah, so I mean, same question then for you. Let's start with Emma. How has it changed from working on those two laptops to what you're doing today as a business?
Well, I mean, it couldn't be any further from where it was when we first started. You know, there was just Lee and myself hot desking in town at the library, and we'd have initially, like, you know, as Lee said, we were just in construction at that point. So, you know, we would have the gents that were out, the temps that were out on site, would come into the office, hand in their timesheets, and we were working on various old documents that, you know, now wouldn't be fit for purpose because we have so many temps on the books, and it, you know, we were very much finding our feet, I think, you know, and whenever we were presented with a problem or a solution we had to provide, we would find the best way to do it, and we would still always deliver, but I think now it's very much more, you know, a well-oiled machine. With our model has changed slightly with recruiting for hospitality locally, but also for the rest of the world. So we've added a few more strings to our bow, you know, built up some really strong relationships across all of the islands now. So whereas initially it was just Jersey that we were sourcing labour for, you know, we're now sort of, you know, working over in the Isle of Man, and Guernsey, Alderney. So things have kind of, you know, really grown organically over the last few years.
Excellent stuff. So Emma's covered it off. There's one person left to ask the same question. And of course, that is Diane. How have you seen things change, not only within the business, but also in the recruitment market in your time?
Well, I joined GR8 Recruitment just over 2 years ago now. So it was already set up by the time I got there. But previous to that, I was working with Back to Work. So again, I used to work with Lee, and we used to deal with a lot of people that had issues to employment. Local recruitment is always a little bit harder. With the island being so small, it's not always easy to find the resources. So we do sometimes struggle with the skill level and things like that. But my passion is definitely local recruitment. And, you know, we always sort of drive. We work a lot with the agencies. So we work with them, Back to Work. We work with the prison and numerous charities, trying to, you know, assist people getting back on their feet like locally, really.
Do you find it difficult to bring people into the Channel Islands? Because obviously, in certain scenarios, they need to have government support, if you like, the required paperwork. That's an additional step for you, isn't it?
It is. But we sort of looked at the market 3.5-4 years ago and realised with Brexit, we were going to lose our transient workforce into the islands. So the guys and girls who would just turn up on the plane or a boat to come see friends would walk into a hotel or into our office and get them a job. That dried up. And we've seen a massive drop in the market from three or four a day to 1-2 a month. So we're just not getting that resource in. So we started looking outside the box. We started looking at some established routes, and we looked at Kenya. So our first stop was Kenya. We travelled over there. We interviewed 150 people at the Utali Hospitality College in Nairobi. Utali meaning hospitality in Swahili. And we offered, I think, we had about 40 people offered jobs. One turned up, and then COVID hit. So then that happened. But the actual, the current way of getting people over, It's quite simple and straightforward to us now as an organisation, because we've been through it so much. So we will find a resource, whether that be in China, Sri Lanka, African continent, the Caribbean, Europe, globally. We'll find resources for the varying sectors that we work in. And we'll make sure that resource is suitable. We'll put them towards our clients. And then we'll do the whole work permit, visa process. We book travel, we'll sort the visas, we cover costs, we make sure the resource gets here. So it's a very difficult process. The government have been absolutely fantastic, I think, in giving us the work permit process. And now it's for business to maximise on that and provide as many resources as possible to our island businesses.
And I assume from what you're saying, working in different markets to source employees, you've got to go about it in different ways for different markets.
Yes, certainly. So, for example, our first exploration to this was for hospitality. Currently, we have, I'm going to say, around about 6,000 people on our books in hospitality. So we have a massive pool to get the right choice, and that's from around the world. We started working in the construction sector. We've now got 32 guys working on construction sites in Jersey, fully qualified, skilled people, and they are absolutely blown away expectations of our clients. They turn up on site, they're working 50, 60 hours a week, very skilled and getting the job done. We're also working in the agricultural market. We have a number of people working in farms in Jersey, all with degree level qualifications in Kenya in animal management, crop management, plant operation, and they're working in our support in our agricultural sector. We have about 500 elderly care workers on our books. We are currently recruiting for early year carers to come support our nurseries, as well as retail and the other sectors that are within the blue collar, whether that be an airport worker, whether that be a driver. So you see, we expand across all sectors. And what the team does is when we employ somebody and get them a job, they become part of our family and we take care of them. So, and by helping one person from Africa, Sri Lanka or China, it's making a massive difference back home. So we're effectively what we're doing is changing lives one job at a time as well.
I know that from other places I've worked in the Middle East, for example. You have the taxi drivers, the builders who are earning money away from home and sending it back home, and it goes such a long way, and they do massive good with that income.
Massive impact. And I was in Kenya earlier on this year, and I went to see some of our people's homes, and the change has been absolutely immense. 8-hour drive outside Nairobi, one of our girls' grandma's house, she got electricity, running water, a calf, a goat. 14 children come run up to me when I arrived. They got them school books, they got them uniforms. So it really does. And that one person who was working in Guernsey has affected 40 people's lives. It's absolutely immense.
Yeah, it's amazing when you look at other parts of the world. I have a friend who does some fundraising in Sierra Leone and builds schools. And you kind of think, oh, that's expensive. But in that part of the world, £8,000 to £10,000 will build a school. It's incredible what you can do with, you know, not huge sums of money, but the right amount of money put in the right place.
And so, certainly from our point of view, I think Em can give you some more context to this. Em will speak to all our people from around the world. And Em, for the rest of the world, recruitment is the centerpin of this operation. And she speaks to them all from day one, all the way through. And if there's a problem with somebody whilst they're on island, we will sort the problem out. We had a chap whose brother died, so we paid for the airfare to go back home. We've had issues with people in Kenya before they've arrived here. Sadly, we had one of our gents, 8-month-old daughter died, 3 to 4 before we were due to arrive. So we sent money down there to aid him through that process. So we're all about the GR8 family.
So it'd be correct in saying that when you bring somebody into work, they are an extension of your company. Wherever you're placing them, the way that they react and the way that they work is a reflection on the process that you take seriously to bring people in.
When you say our company, I think more so it's our family, the GRA family.
Yeah, everybody that sort of works for GRA or we bring over, they have to sort of live the GRA values. So, and if they don't, then obviously we would discuss that with them. But a lot of the guys that we've got, they're just the ones that we've brought over have just been brilliant. And a lot of the local guys that we've got as well, you know, we've looked after a lot of them and they're exactly the same. So everybody's treated exactly the same, no matter where they're from. Everyone's paid a fair wage. We don't pay anybody minimum wage either. Everybody's at least on living wage. So yeah, we don't follow the minimum wage or anything like that.
And it sounds to me in certain sectors that you work in, obviously there's a fair amount of seasonal working.
Yes, yeah, so there's more seasonal work, but that's more where Em comes in with the rest of the world. We do place a lot of students over the summer, back from university and over Christmas, and we're doing a recruitment drive at the moment, trying to get more people to sign up if they're looking for temporary work, because we may have like warehouse roles and supermarket for them as well. So there's lots of moving parts to GR8.
The question, obviously, for Em is you've got a truly global reach as a business, and you work with people from diverse backgrounds. What impact does GR8's worldwide presence make on communities around the world?
I think it has a hugely positive communities. You know, as you've already said, you know, we've got a global reach now, which we've worked, you know, really hard to grow over the last few years. And it's, you know, perhaps strongest, I would say, it's sort of in Africa, and particularly in Kenya. We've had, you know, several visits over there. And as Lee mentioned, you know, we've been over to see various former candidates or even current candidates as well who are still sort of working in the islands. And we go over and we see firsthand exactly what impact that additional money brings to their entire families. And not only the the personal impact that we get to see on individuals' lives, but I think it instilled real hope throughout those local communities to see what can be achieved by taking these opportunities that we're offering here to build people's skills and develop them, develop their entire careers. So it's not just one person, the reach we have throughout the world and, all these various communities within construction, within agriculture and hospitality. There are a lot of people that are doing these roles in various worldwide locations who are looking for, change of scenery somewhere to build upon their skill set and then ultimately take that back home. And develop further in their home countries. And I think when friends and family see that, that does kind of instill a real sense of hope and of what can be achieved if you take these opportunities and run with them. So it's a great feeling, I think, for all of us to see that we really are affecting local communities all the way throughout the world. So it's amazing, yeah.
So when you've had success in a community and you go back to that community to recruit others, do you find that people go, hey, yeah, I know what you do. I want to be part of it. Does it make it much easier for you?
Yeah, absolutely it does. I think the word spreads most definitely. And when somebody's been over on, perhaps a seasonal contract and they go back to their home country and tell their family and friends, we were well looked after, we had a great time, we had an amazing experience, then that really encourages others to follow.
And Lee, do you echo those thoughts?
Yeah, absolutely. What we do does change lives one job at a time. I've seen it firsthand. Em and I are back in Nairobi in January. We're going to a number of villages. The main purpose of the trip is really to meet our contacts in business and government there. It's also for us to go down, and the part of the job that's good for the soul is to go and see the difference that it makes and to see the smiling faces, the school uniforms, the ability to make a massive difference to not only to a individual, but to their family and to their community. So in a village in northwestern Kenya, the impact it has on the direct family, 40, is massive. But then they're able to help. One of our girls lived in a small shack in Nairobi, in a one-room shack, no bigger than a studio. 5 people lived in it, no electricity. The next door neighbour at the time had electricity. And this lady said to this girl at the time, who would have been 21, she's called Grace, you're never going to have any light in your life and you're going to die in darkness because you don't have electricity. Horrible thing to say. Grace has put electricity in the mum's house in this particular village in Nairobi. And her next door neighbour was now in darkness because she had no electricity. What did Grace do? Was she sort of smug about it? She connected her electricity to her so she too could have electricity and for her family as well. So we work with good people, whether that be in Jersey, whether that be around the world. We work with good people and we have strong moral values of what we expect. Dai was saying we pay well, we take care of people. We will not work with employers who are abusive, who don't treat people well. It's just not in our DNA.
And that kind of giving back that community thing, the tale about the electricity, for you, that must be a real sort of like, wow. Through giving somebody a job, they've not only done something for their family, but it's gone beyond their home as well into that community.
It's amazing. There's a waiter who I met in Sri Lanka 4 years ago before I started this, called Dulip. He's working in Guernsey. And I said, and I met his family. I went to his house, which was a tsunami house because all his village got completely washed away. He lost many members of his family. And he took me to his house. And I said, one day, Dulip, I want to get you a job in the Channel Islands. He's now working here. And the money he's sending back is helping the community because down there at the moment is absolute devastation with the political situation, and he's given to the wider community. So again, just a little job in our little island has a massive impact globally. Our footprint as a set of islands, whether that be Jersey, Guernsey, Channel Islands or the Isle of Man, is huge. What we can do to impact people's lives back home is great, and it's good for the soul.
So it begs the question then, and I'll ask all of you individually, what makes a star employee for GR8? Emma?
Well, from my point of view, I think it's somebody who's passionate. They've got to have a real interest in whatever role it might be. It could be, a KP. It could could be somebody who's front of house or reception. They've got to really enjoy whatever it is that they're doing. They need to have an attention to detail, and they've just got to have that sort of winning personality, someone who's a real team player and a real go-getter. I think, taking any of the opportunity, whether it be local or, rest of the world, ultimately we want the best person for the job. And whether that's somebody who's front of house or somebody who's in a construction site, somebody who's qualified, experienced and has a really positive outlook on life.
Is that something you'd echo as well, Diane?
Yeah, definitely. And I think from my side of it, obviously, because I do the local, somebody that's looking for longevity in a career as well. I don't just like to put people into roles short term. I like them to, there is going to be some progression for them if they do well. And yeah, and just sort of having that really strong work ethic, be really proud to, be presenting GR8 as well for the temporary people. But I totally agree with everything that Em just said there. Yeah.
And Lee, you've obviously recruited thousands and thousands of people. You've touched on it already. It's not just about coming to work and being a good employee. There is a life beyond work.
We, as a collective, believe in giving back. So we're a commercial enterprise. We make money. And that's what business is. But we give back. We've given over £12,000 to Highlands College Foundations Programme, who will support students who, if you're a chef student in culinary arts, but you can't afford a set of knives, this fund will give a set of knives or a set of spanners. Rock to Recovery is a charity close to our hearts. It supports former servicemen and their family, or the 999 services in our islands who maybe have issues, and they give free counselling, PTSD. We've given over £20,000 to those charities. We work with a number of other charities in the island, and we believe in giving back. It's all well and good taking from the pot, but we should have this. It's not a duty. It just feels right to give back to our community, to support our community. Di will work with the prison every 2 months, and we'll work with people who have paid their dues to society and are not coming out. And we'll help them find work. We'll support them into work. We'll work with Joy's Employment Trust. We'll work with Back to Work. We've got strong links with the Community Savings Bank, who supports people who may be on financial hardship. So we do a lot. I'm actually an ambassador to the Community Savings Jersey. So we give a lot back to the community, and we support businesses. During COVID, all our fees went down by half to support the hospitality sector because they were finding it difficult. So we're a business that believes in not just our employees, but our communities at home. And I think, do you know something, mate? This is something that I'm immensely proud of. I'm sitting in a room with two great friends, but also directors of my business. And we've got an amazing team back in the office. And for me to be, I couldn't be any prouder. Absolutely superb. I work with the best of the best.
That comes across, Sam. You're passionate about your team, passionate about where you're based, and you're also passionate about seeing what your business is doing in the communities that you work with around the world.
And locally as well. We talk about the business, but it's quite difficult because I get no respite from these two. They give me grief quite a lot, and they put me in my place. And sometimes Di terrifies me. Di is that person that we're in a meeting, she'll come up with the have you thought about this? Or, well, I don't agree with you. I think one of my favourite comments when during a meeting, the three of us, I decided to say, well, I think we should do this. She said, well, what's the point of the meeting? You've made your mind up anyway, so just do it. And I was like, okay, so strong leaders. We have a business that leads the leaders, fantastic leaders in their own right. And like I say, sometimes I feel like I just get back in my box and shut up.
Yeah, but it also, a room full of yes men doesn't work. Sometimes you do need that challenge to go, hey, that's nice, but
yes, women, because most of my team are women, and absolutely a fantastic team, absolutely. I'm sure they'll say the same about me.
No pressure here.
No, the team we've got are absolutely amazing, and I am a little bit like that. I sometimes feel like the Grim Reaper when we go into meetings, because I'm going to sort of look at what
Yeah.
Look at the bigger picture. But no, but on the whole, like Lee is really, really good to work. Well, we don't really work for you. We work with you, really, don't we? So we are like just a really nice team. And the operational team are just absolutely amazing. Everything runs smoothly. Any issues, then we all sort of help each other. We all jump in. So there's no kind of hierarchy at GR8. We're all very much in it together. Let's just do what we can do, and any problems we'll deal with, and any success we just want to celebrate.
And you do that collectively?
Yes.
Let's not delve into that one. GR8 recruitment has grown rapidly from its Jersey roots, what, in the first 5 years? So question for all of you, really, where do you see the business in the next 5 years? Diane's going to start us off.
I'd like to think that we're probably going to have expanded quite a lot with extra staff in the office, maybe different premises. Certainly, we've already got a global reach, so certainly looking at that a lot more, and also being the number one across the whole Channel Islands, really, and potentially the UK. So we've definitely got a plan in action. It's just sort of making it all work now and getting the right people on board to help us achieve that.
What do you think the vision is for the next 5 years then, Emma?
I think really, I'd just like to see the business, you know, bigger and better. I would love to grow our presence in sort of Alderney, Sark and Herm, and also, you know, throughout the island, and really sort of expand upon our presence over there, which at the moment is, we do most of our recruitment in Jersey and Guernsey. So I would love to see us really develop our client base throughout the islands, and also, you know, we would much, you know, very much like to look at expanding our IT and our the CRM systems that we use, and really bolster what we're providing with the software and you know, developing those, which is, that's the way recruitment's going now. I think, you know, it's all about having these robust systems in place that support service that we give. I mean, our service is strong. It's at the you know, it's the pinnacle of what we're providing is a good service to our clients, and we'll always continue in doing that. But I think to really expand and see the business grow organically would be brilliant in the next 5 years, for definite.
Excellent stuff. And finally, Lee, the ladies have had their say, their vision. I'm sure it's the same as yours.
I echo completely. What I'd like to see, I'd like us to enjoy success, do it in a way that we're all happy, the way that we're making a difference to our clients and to our employees and to the operational team. What I'd like to see be GR8, I'd like to see it being seen as what it is now, really, and continue to be what we built, and build on our strong foundations. And be seen as a business that supports businesses, supports community, and really can make a difference to our people that work with us, whether that be a 16-year-old lad walking in the office or a 45-year-old carpenter coming over from Kenya or Sri Lanka. The business is going to grow, and I look forward to a time when I can sit back and see a legacy of not only of GR8, what we have here, a legacy of people globally who will always say, well, GR8 helped me build my house. GR8 helped me get my first foot on the ladder when I was 18 in construction. I'm now a construction manager. And it's all about legacy. We all want to leave a legacy. And my vision for GR8 is to leave a positive impact for the islands, for our people, and for our community. And do you know what? It's good for the soul.
It's a fascinating story from where you've come from to where you are and where you want to go. It's great. Now, people listening to this, they may want to find out more about GR8 and your work. How can they go about doing that?
So we have our website, which is www.gr8jersey.com. We're across all the social media platforms. We can be contacted at info@gr8jersey.com. We respond to all our messages. Nobody goes unanswered. Even if it's a negative, no, we can't help. We speak to everybody. Get in touch. We'd love to hear from you. And who knows that somebody listening to this will come into the GR8 family. They can become part of it, and it can be a stepping stone of their life to a better, happier, more successful life.
So we now know how we can contact you. We can find out more about your business. And just to close, anything else you'd like to say?
I believe in gratitude. It's such a great thing. And sometimes we're not really grateful for what we've got. This couldn't happen without people, whether that be a 17-year-old laborist come to work for us, a waitress, somebody from around the world who's come to work under the GR8 family, or our suppliers who support us in our day-to-day operations to make this happen. I always want to say thank you. I want to say how grateful I am to each of them for being part of the GR8 journey, making it the success it is today. And I look forward to welcoming many more people to join us in our continued journey, which is only going to be great.
You've been listening to Building a Great Business, the inside story of the Channel Islands leading recruitment business.